Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hello and welcome to Better Living, a show about the people and organizations that make an impact in our area. I'm your host, Nick Carissimi. A returning guest and group on today's show, Hopeful Solutions, were here a few years ago and they are finally back. Friend of the show, Aaliyah Henry, hooked me up with this interview in studio. I have two representatives of this organization. We're going to start off with Natalyn Walton. She is their founder and executive director. Thank you for coming back. It is great to see you again.
Thank you so much for having us, Nick.
How have you been?
Great. We've been growing and blossoming and transitioning and just continuing our mission to make a difference.
So that is why you are here. I heard a lot of stuff about new things going on at Hopeful Solutions. Let's start off, though, with what Hopeful Solutions does. Who are you guys? What do you do?
Okay. We are a nonprofit organization, a 501c3 nonprofit organization that empowers single mothers in recovery from substance abuse. And what we do is we provide them with holistic support that's needed to sustain sobriety, gain financial stability, and maintain self-sufficiency while living with their children. The core of our program services addresses the mental health that the mothers may have, as well as the issues that may come with that are associated with homelessness and substance use disorder. Our primary focus is to provide a safe and stable environment for the mother and their children. We assist with housing and wraparound services, supportive services, spiritual foundation, and any other support that they may need based on their case-by-case or individual needs. And our vision is that we will restore their dignity and just help them get back to a healthy and nurturing state of being with their children.
How long has the organization been around?
We've been around since 2008. That was the day, well, we were incorporated in 2005, but our services began, our first families we served in 2008.
And how long have you been with them?
Since 2005.
So you've been there from the beginning?
From the beginning.
You are the founder.
I am the founder, the visionary, the bright idea person. So.
Why did you have to start this organization? What was it in your life that made you think, I need to start an organization like Hopeful Solutions?
I am in recovery myself. I've been in recovery since 2003. And it was something that I saw as I was traveling my journey of recovery. I saw a lot of mothers doing my support groups that were coming in who didn't have a place to go after they got out of treatment or got out of jail, whatever the situation was, and they had children and they were in need of a safe place to go that would provide them with the support that they needed with their children. And so because I understood what it meant to be in recovery and some of the challenges that one would face in that journey or that process, I thought it was hard for me without children. I couldn't imagine what it was like for a woman with children that did not have anywhere to go. Thus, I thought they needed hope and they needed solutions. And the because one thing about hope, it's a good idea and it's a good feeling, but without practical solutions, it just kind of fades away. And so I wanted to make sure that the mothers had both. And thus we came up with Hopeful Solutions.
Why base the group around the idea of hope? You probably could have latched onto a couple of different ideas that would help people that are in the situations you're talking about. Why was it important to focus on hope?
Hope gives them the idea that there is a chance that things will change. And we wanted them to believe that. We wanted them to know that now that they had made that commitment to change their lives, to get their lives back on track, that we wanted them to believe that that was information, resources, and support out there that would help them to do that. And so that's why we homed in on the hope, because it just gives you the belief that things will change.
Was that instilled in you when you were getting clean?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. That was one of the principles that I really thrived off of in order to maintain my recovery. People just kept telling me, you cannot give up hope, because if you do, then you're not going to believe that you are worthy, that you there's help for you. You're just not going to act on that based on lack of hope.
At the time, did you understand hope? Did you understand what that was, or did it take you a long time to understand what hope was for you?
Actually, it took some experience. Let me put it that way. It took some experience and some evidence that hope was real, that if I held on to the hope, then things would change. But that was because people began to show up in my life. People began to help me. They began to reach out to me. They understood. I surrounded myself with people who were just like me, who had been down the path that I had been down and had found hope and found solutions and had changed their lives. And so based on their experience, I began to believe, and that just strengthened my hope.
Does it prove this cascading effect idea where if you start removing negative and you start adding positive, that good things start showing up, good people come back into your lives, things start happening that are good as opposed to just an endless avalanche of bad news?
Absolutely. And that has been evidence with our mothers, because we want to surround them with it, or put them in a nurturing, healthy, and supportive environment. And so as a result, their old relationships, the positive ones, began to come back into their lives. They were reunited with family members, parents, siblings, maybe children who had been removed from their lives because of their addiction. But now they're getting those relationships back, which were positive in their lives prior to their using.
What is more important in these situations? Is it repairing those old relationships, or is it building new ones and forcing yourself into a new life? I could see the benefit of both of those.
Mm-hmm. And it is. It's both. It's a parallel because because of the disease of addiction and the drug use, a lot of the most significant and important relationships were severed because the family just could not handle the destruction and the harm that was being caused by that. So they want to rebuild those relationships. And as a result of that, they're able to get new relationships like job, being on a job, hanging out with their children that may have been removed from their lives, as I mentioned before. So these new healthy relationships, going to, camping events. We provide a lot of activities for the mothers. So getting and established relationships with new resources that will help them to continue their journey of recovery. Those kind of relationships are the ones that are available to them now that they are clean. And that's the word we use.
For those that are successful in the program, how do you keep that idea of hope with them? Because they've achieved the things that they want. Or is there a shift to a different mentality when people are clean and they're on their way? They're doing good.
Well, actually, the hope, and we call them spiritual principles, they are pretty much strengthened. The hope is strengthened, again, because of the experience. So they just continue to build on that. They continue to grow, and they continue to believe that this is not just enough. Just because I've gotten a place to stay, my kids are back, and family members are inviting me to social family events and so forth, they began to strive for more. They began to believe that they can achieve more. So now those old dreams that have just kind of been dormant are awakened. And so they began to maybe seek a promotion, or they began to go to school, or they began to just believe that they can be better than just enough.
There isn't a list of things to do. You achieve certain things, it empowers you to continue and do things that you didn't think were actually possible.
Absolutely.
Especially at a certain time in
Absolutely.
Your life.
Absolutely.
When you started the organization, you had been sober for about 2 years.
Yes.
And then you decided to do this. Had you worked in this area at all before?
No, I hadn't. I actually, I have a master's degree in education. So it was all about children, which was a combination of which kind of, well, let me say, it helped motivate me to help the mothers, because I knew the need for the children was really important, that they needed a strong, stable environment. And the only way they were going to get there, well, not the only way, but one of the ways would be through a safe and healthy environment with their mother. And so I had no idea.
Did you start the organization for those kids, or was it for the mothers? Because you mentioned that twice. You mentioned the kids twice, and with your background in education, were the kids the driving factor for this?
The children were the driving factor. They were. I'm glad you asked that, but that was what was the most important thing, was the children, because they just needed a mother. You know, children are very forgiving. And I wanted to make sure that they were in an environment that with their mother.
Was there an instance that made you latch on to that idea, or was it just years of seeing this stuff?
Just years of seeing that, just believing that there was, I guess, one incident that just really triggered the whole idea. I was in a support group, and a mother came in with two children. One was a toddler, and one was in an infant. And she was just crying because she had just been discharged from a treatment facility. And a lot of times the treatment facilities, they do the best that they can. But when their funding is up and the time is up, it's time to go, and they'll send them to a shelter. And she was just horrified about taking her children to a shelter, and she couldn't return to the old places and things and people. And she was in tears because she just had nowhere to go. And of course, the shelter, you can only stay there for a certain length of time. So she just didn't know where to go. And that's when it sparked. It's like, my gosh.
Do you know what happened to her?
Actually, she became eventually, not right away, but she became one of our first clients.
I was going to ask about how you started. You've got to, when you start an organization like this, you have to start bringing people in.
Absolutely.
So she was one of the first people that was a part of Hopeful Solutions. That was kind of where it started.
It took us about, I reached out to her because she kept coming to meetings. She was determined. And that's what we look for, mothers who are determined, who have really committed to a new way of life. And so we just kept in touch. We just kept. She became a part of my support network, or I became a part of hers, and we just kept talking and talking. It's like, I'm going to work on this. And we helped her with some other resources that kind of kept her in a safe environment. And as soon as we were able to get our housing vouchers with the Dallas Housing Authority, we connected with her.
Nellyn Walton is the founder and executive director of Hopeful Solutions. You can find them online at hopefulsolutionsdallas.org. Let's talk about the services and programs that you provide the people that come to you. What are some of the main things that you guys do?
The main thing that we do is we provide housing. But parallel to that, which is another main thing, is we provide recovery support. That's the core of our program.
So once people are done with the initial process of rehab, is that when you guys step in?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we just want to be that bridge. We're that continuum of care where we make sure that they do maintain relationships with their support. We want to make sure that they continue to work a 12-step program. They get a sponsor, because this is a lifetime, I don't want to say a disease, but it's a lifetime mental health issue, to make it prettier.
Commitment.
Yeah. Okay. I like you. Thank you
there
so
you
much, Nick. Lifetime commitment. And so we want to make sure that they understand that. So we have a certified peer recovery support specialist that meets with them on a regular basis, so that we can talk about day-to-day life issues that, I guess, someone who doesn't have this issue in their life, they can get over. A bad day, several rejects.
How is that different than a sponsor?
The peer recovery support specialist, she's just there. A sponsor is someone that will work them through a 12-step process. The peer recovery support specialist is just someone who walks along beside them to just talk to them about certain issues that they may be having. But the sponsor goes in a little bit more in depth, real deep personal issues that they may be having. And they're just pretty much there to take them through the 12 steps. But the peer recovery support specialist just is more, I don't know, just a little bit more available.
How long are people normally a part of the organization? Because they are, they have a place to go. They have a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
What's a typical stay within Hopeful Solutions?
Right now, where we are, they can stay as long as they really want. We don't, it's a lifetime relationship. We have the emergency program, which is our Jumpstart program for individuals that come in and need emergency shelter. We have the New Directions program, where they're pretty much transitioned into housing assistance, so to speak. And then we have the Wings program, where they are pretty much independent on with their financial responsibilities. And once they're in the Wings program, they're in for life. If they ever need to come back to us, and you know, life happens. And as you are building your life and kind of getting back into the swing of understanding what it means to be a responsible employee, a responsible tenant, a responsible mother, things happening that you didn't plan for. So they need a flat, they have a flat tire, car breaks down, they need diapers, school supplies, whatever. We're always there for them. The mothers know upon their leaving our housing community and going out on their own that they can always call, and I need a bus pass, or I need a gas card. We're always there. It's just a lifetime.
What kind of impact does that have for these mothers? The idea sometimes that you have someone to call, it takes a lot of weight off mm-hmm. of your shoulders. Everybody runs around with stress all day, every day, kind of just the human condition. But I think it's made easier when you know that you have somebody that you can count on.
Mm-hmm.
What impact does that have for the people that are with you guys?
It's a huge impact. A lot of our mothers will come to us, and it takes them a minute to ask for help. It takes them a minute.
Is it a trust issue? Is it a they've never had this opportunity before? Why? It's always tough for people to ask for help, but I think this is going to be extreme examples.
Absolutely. I'm not going to say they've never had anyone to give them the help, but it's so important for them to be independent for the self-esteem. I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to make it on my own. I can do this. I've been slacking in the area of being a good mother. So now I'm out to prove to the world that I can do this on my own. And so we have to let them know that you can ask for help. People are here to help you. You cannot do this alone. And so it helps them to build a trust. It helps them to strengthen their hope. It helps them to have faith in and lean on someone when we know them, and we encourage them. We'll follow up with them. And sometimes we don't force it on them, but when we have events and things that are going on where there are materials or supplies or anything that they need, we're giving away clothes, or we've got free clothes or school supplies, we'll call them, because we just want to just let you know, just come on and join in the fun. We put it like that. So
how are the kids involved with this whole process? We're talking about really hard stuff.
Absolutely. Well, what we do is we provide therapeutic activities for the children, because the mothers are on their path in recovery, but so are the children. The children are recovering from some pretty adverse childhood experiences. And so we want to make sure that we address their needs. We have things like horse therapy. We're now creating a garden, which is for horticultural therapy for the mothers and the children to get out there and be a part of that. We have a partnership with Rainbow Days. They come in and do peer support for the children to help them build their self-esteem, to believe that they can. I can't remember the little saying, but it's so cute. But we make sure that the children have their own experience of recovery as well.
And you say, and they are, kids are relatively resilient. And mm-hmm. you also said, which I thought was interesting, that they're forgiving. How do you make sure that these kids are actually doing better and not shrugging it off, but it's still weighing on them?
Mm-hmm.
How do you focus on that?
So what we do is we monitor the children. We watch them very closely. If they are, we have activities. And one example that I always use is we had a children's room, and the children would come in. If the mothers were new, the children would come in. Of course, they would be clinging to the mother because they were afraid that if I let you go, and chances are I go back into the room, you may not be there, and you've been disappearing for months.
You told me about that the last time that you were here. I remember you saying that.
And so now that we're in the new location, the idea that the children want to come and play with the other children, and they're just moving around, and but if the children are clinging and holding, then we want to address that. They can, because they still do that. Sometimes they'll go outside, they'll play, and then they'll come back in just to check and make sure that their mother is there. But as long as they're able to just freely move around, then we know that the house, the home, is a nurturing environment for the children. They feel safe. They feel trusting of their mothers. So we have to watch that, because the children have to begin to trust their mothers. They have to be able to believe that what you say is true. And so we teach the mothers, or help the mothers understand, be honest about what you're telling your children. You know, let's not make up stuff and, you know, mommy's going down the street, you know, whatever. Be honest with the children. So that's what we push, because that's what's going to build that.
Is that hard or a good thing for the moms that are at that stage, that process, where the kids are maybe, they're doing good, but they're still checking? I can see that kind of going both ways.
Mm-hmm.
How does that experience work out for the moms?
So that's part of our peer recovery support, because we teach them that we let them know that it's going to be a process. It's a process. You're going to have to just accept that reality of the harm that you've caused your children, or the fear that you've placed in them, and just keep showing them something different. So, yeah, it is hard, but it is what it is with them. And they just have to begin to continue to practice their recovery process. And we tell them about, you know, spiritual principles of acceptance and surrender, and owning, taking responsibility for the part that you played in this, and not be so frustrated, because it can be frustrating, especially for the older children. Who, the younger children are a little bit, I'm just glad mommy's here. You know, they told me the story, I believed it. But for those older children that are maybe 10, 13, 14,
they know what's going on.
They know. And so that's a challenge for them. So we help the mothers in their process of being honest, being open to hearing what the children say. And if it gets to be too much, because our peer recovery support specialists can only do so much, if it gets to be too much, then we will send them to individual family counseling to let a professional take care of that.
Let's talk about some of the newer things that you guys are getting into. How has the organization changed since the last time that I talked to you?
Well, we have changed quite a bit. We've relocated, and we are really happy about it. We were initially being funded. Our housing program was being funded through the Dallas Housing Authority special project-based voucher program. That stopped because it was a location-based, and because the owner of the apartment complex decided that they no longer wanted to honor the vouchers through the Dallas Housing Authority, we had to relocate. And we relocated to the Highland Park Apartments, which are in the southwest sector of Dallas. And but it's our own community. We now have 24 apartment units that are in a gated community, gated area. You have to have a security code to get in. We have a courtyard for the children to play in, run free. The mothers are much more comfortable there because now we are secluded.
It sounds like that was a problem, but it actually sounds like it turned into a blessing.
It turned into a big blessing. We get to have events there. And again, we are starting our garden there. The mothers actually had the idea of, when they saw it, it's like, oh gosh, we can start a garden. Our children can play. So I let them go and see it before we
committed to it. Was it hard finding this new place? Were you guys kind of sweating for a little while?
No, it was just, you know, it was just a blessing. I was telling a few of my colleagues about our situation, and someone just came and said, I think we have the perfect spot for you. And I went to, well, I did check two or three places, but this one place, it happened all within maybe 30 days of finding out that we were going to have to. I know.
That's
it
great.
It was a blessing. And we love it. It's just, it's a community. We
meant call to
it
be.
Our community. Yes. We call it our community of hope because the mothers are all watching each other. They get to, you know, at the other location, we were a little bit more spread out.
Wasn't it multiple locations at one time?
Well, it wasn't. It was one apartment, but they were spread out. It was 120 units, and so they were just spread out all over the apartment complex. But now it's all Hopeful Solutions in this little gated area. And so now our funding has changed quite a bit. We had seven mothers that came with us that still had the Dallas Housing Authority vouchers, so they were able to transition with their vouchers. But now what we have to do in order to continue our services, we have the New Directions program where we pay 50% of the rent for 6 months, and then we pay 25% after 9 months, and then we just slowly transition the mother or wean the mothers into paying their full rent, which is still below market rate. And then we have the WINGS program where the mothers come in and they are responsible for the whole rent. But what we do is we help them with a deposit. We'll pay half their deposit and their application fee to get in. A lot of our mothers may have a criminal background or no rental history. Their credit is low. And so because of that, they have to pay extra in their deposit. And so we will help them in that area. So a lot of our funding is now depending solely on individual donations, grants, fundings, fundraisers, so forth.
Do the women keep up with each other? Do they start their own networks? Still a part of Hopeful Solutions, but
absolutely
together.
Oh, absolutely. And it's through Facebook. A lot of it is through
Facebook. I was going to ask, is it phone calls? Is it internet? How do most of them connect nowadays?
Facebook and more Facebook. No need to have a phone number. They communicate with each other. And a lot of them, if there's maybe some problems or some issues that may happen. Okay, I'm getting a little choked up because we did just lose a mother to an overdose. And we found out she graduated 5 years ago. And we found out through Facebook that she had OD'd. So it happens. We don't have a perfect record of everybody really making it. But
what happens at the community when something like that happens?
We mourn. And we do our best to support each other because it's scary. And so we show up at the services, the ones who were close to her. And we just kind of lift each other up.
Is it strengthening in a weird way?
Yes. Yeah, in a very uncomfortable way. And of course, the question is, why? What happened? She had everything, and she really did.
But the people that are in this organization, they pull together
yes.
through these hardships.
Absolutely.
And that's what this organization is all about.
Absolutely. You know, we have a very high success rate. It's still this 67% of our mothers who come through the program or have an experience with Hopeful Solutions can stay clean 3 years after they graduate. They get a substantial amount of clean time. But we, in that process, though, they lift each other up. They support each other through the relapse, you know, because it's just part of it. But they encourage each other, and, you know, and we don't turn our back on each other. We don't say, oh, you got to go get out, you and your kids. You know, we embrace them. What can we do? We'll watch the kids. You need to go to treatment. What is it that we can do to help you get the help that you need? And don't shame them, or we just do the best we can to support each other.
What does the organization need right now? What can people do for Hopeful Solutions?
We're looking for volunteers to help with case management. We're looking for volunteers that will help with office assistance. We need, of course, we're always looking for donations. We're doing a campaign. It's called the 400 Hope Campaign, where if individuals would commit to maybe $5 or $10 a month and just donate an annual, just $10 a month to just help us with our housing needs. And the other supportive needs that we may have as far as bus passes, donations of bus passes, gas cards, Walmart cards to help with underwear, socks, uniforms. Our children grow out of uniforms like nobody's business. So those kind of needs we have more practical needs that just help with moving forward in a practical and responsible manner.
If people want to be a part of Hopeful Solutions, what's the best way for them to do that?
They can reach out to us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Hopeful Solutions Dallas, or they can contact us at 972-285-6848 and ask for me and just express that they are attempting to, they would like to volunteer, or they can go to volley.org, V-O-L-Y.org, and sign up through them as well.
How do you feel?
I feel good.
All right.
You're awesome, Nick.
It was great seeing you. I'm really glad that you came back in today. I really appreciate it. Natalyn Walton is the founder and executive director of Hopeful Solutions. You can find them online at hopefulsolutionsdallas.org, or as she mentioned, give them a call, 972-285-6848, or just Facebook it up, because apparently that's what you guys like to do.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Thank you again. It was great seeing you.
Thank you so much, Nick, for having us.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.